I'd just like to reiterate, go over just something the Lord dropped in my spirit that I mentioned Sunday that'll kind of prime the pump maybe for tonight and for what it's all about. And Psalms 23, which is, of course, the flagship Psalms of David's, is the most beloved, poetic, life-altering psalm. I mean, it is no piece of literature and history that anywhere rivals of the Psalms 23. And people have learned amazing stuff. I love that psalm. It's comforting. It's used in every setting and every religion. Psalms 23 is absolutely a masterpiece. And so just I wasn't thinking about Psalms 23. I wasn't doing anything as far as pulling it apart, but the Lord just brought it to me. You know, there's one thing to go after the Word of God. There's another thing when the Word of God chases you. And that's what I like, is when the Word of God comes after me, it's like, oops. And so I had some oops moments. And one of the things that stood out to me, the Lord said to me, my heart, concerning Psalms, and this part, yea, though I walk through the valley, you know, of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And so out of that, this little bridge piece, I thought, I think I mentioned this. David walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and at the other end of that, a table was spread for him in the presence of his enemies by the Lord, where the Lord did three things for him. But the tagline is this: you gotta sometimes walk through something to get to something. And so we're a get-to people, and I like to get to stuff without going through stuff. And it's like, but my experience, maybe like yours, has been you never get to something without going through something. I don't know why it's that way. Who made those rules up? I'm going to contest them when I get to heaven. Whoever made that up, whoever that was, I take issue with that as a Democratic Christian. Who loves a republic? Well, I didn't mean to go there. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. But anyway, so David, it was very clear, that part. Actually, and I'll get back to that in just a second, but the scripture of Isaiah says, you shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. You know, running and being weary, that's one thing. I mean, we can run. You can run and be weary. You can still run when you're weary. But you can't walk when you faint. And so he said, and you shall walk and not faint. Faint means you hit the floor. So David had said in the Psalms, had made it very clear, there's no fainting allowed in the kingdom of God. And I have to preach that to myself because sometimes I want to faint. There is no falling down and not getting back up. You know, there is no prodigal son in the pig pen who says, I'm never leaving here. There's only the word of the Lord that says, I will arise. And so David had that I will arise in him, and he had that going through something to get to something principle in him. So back to this. So as he's saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is first person. First person was him, but the bigger first person was after that. So we have to take first person ownership and going through something before we get to something. It's like learning to walk as a child. I remember my kids learning to walk. I'd have them come to me. And they're getting to me to get to something. They had to go through something. And what they went through is bruises and bumps on their nose and falling on the floor. And sometimes I would not go get them or go help them up. I remember I would never help Stephanie up. She was having trouble walking. Chris started walking. He was walking as soon as he hit the floor out of the womb. He was walking. It seemed like it was like 8 months old or something like that. Stephanie was going on 12 or 13 months. I go, that girl needs to walk. And so I'd put her out there and have her come to me. She'd get halfway there and just fall in the floor. And she couldn't get it. And I wouldn't go rescue her because if I went and rescued her, she wouldn't be able to go through something. She wouldn't have the capacity to learn and to exercise herself. And that's a hard lesson when you're a child and when you're a baby or you're a kid. It's a hard lesson. And it's also harder for the adult to watch their children go through that. But David said in that context, I'm walking, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'll reiterate that it wasn't God that walked through the valley of the shadow of death with David. It wasn't, he said his rod and staff would comfort you. He didn't say he was going to walk with you in that and be a part of that, but his word and his comfort would be there. But David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So the I is on the front end. The I is going through something. The second person, God, the He, is after the valley of the shadow of death, where you get to something. So we all want to get to a table that's prepared before us, that's spread, and the presence of our enemies, and have our head anointed with oil and our cup runneth over, and all that has to do with that table in the wilderness. We want to get there, but it is, without say, impossible to get there biblically without going through, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, I protest loudly. And I don't know why it has to be that way. I don't like it like that. I don't like it at all. And I fall down, you know, there. But I realized, again, this last week, as much as I don't like it, the Lord is requiring me to fulfill my end of the bargaining and the partnership and the kingdom. And that is, my end is though I walk and He prepares something after I walk. So as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemy. And my partaking of that table is reliant upon me getting through what I'm going through to get to where He's at, that He has prepared for me. So I'm not sure what God has prepared in the wilderness for you. I'm not sure what He has for me. Because when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're walking through something, you can't see the two something very well. And you don't know what it's going to look like. David didn't particularly know what it was going to look like. I mean, he didn't know the Lord was going to prepare a table for him in the presence of his enemies. And of course, the writer of the Psalms was a shepherd. And history says in those days, or shepherding says, that one of the plateaus or valleys, when you went through the shadow, which was the long shadows of the evening. By the way, the word death is not used in the English language. It's the worst of translations. No translation in Hebrew says valley of the shadow of death. This is the valley of the shadows. Death is injected in a religious spirit by the King James translators. Didn't mean to say that. But no translation says death. That was injected in 1600. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows, because God's not the God of the death. God doesn't bring you there to let you die, but He does bring you into the setting of shadows and where things are dim and not seen clearly. And so it is our job, it is David's job to get through the shadows. And when you go through the shadows, it's hard to see what God's preparing for you. And it's hard for me to see, maybe hard for you to see. But on the other end of our commitment is to walk through. His commitment is not to walk. Our commitment is to walk. He's already made the walk. He walked to Calvary, said it's finished. He sat down. He's not walking anymore. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, preparing a place for us that where He is, we may be also seated with Him in heavenly place. So we're going to be seated with Him, but before we can get on our, before we can sit on our seat, we got to walk on our feet. How about that? So before you get on your seat, you got to get on your feet. And so as we get on our feet and walk through, but getting on our feet is not like dancing. You think, boy, if I'm going to be on my feet, if God's going to use my feet, maybe I'm just going to dance. Well, getting on your feet sometimes, meaning putting one foot before the other, going through the valley of the shadow of death, with the promise that if you'll walk, you'll be able to sit with the King and the table and the wilderness. And back to my point about being in the wilderness and the preparedness of that place, Valley of Shadows, the Hebrew says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff comfort me. Because David didn't die there, sheep didn't die there. It was long shadows. The night was falling. He had to lead the sheep through those small valleys. When they would go to the plateaus, one of the things that David would do, shepherds would do, is lead their sheep to high ground for feed, because that's where the grass was at, and that's where the feed was at. But one of the problems with that was when he would get to the high grounds, it would be a valley, it would be surrounded by mountains as well, and wolves and predators would be watching for the shepherd not to pay attention to the sheep, to take one of the sheep down. And so he said, thus the scripture, though he prepares a table for me in the presence of the wolves, in the presence of the predators. After I've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, now I'm in the elevated ground where he's at, and although there are enemies, he's preparing a table for me, and that table is in the presence. So the enemies see that we're seated together with him now because we've been through something, we're to something, and we can sit down after we've been on our feet. Now we can sit down from our feet, and we sit down at his right hand. As we sit there, he anoints our head with oil, and our cup runneth over. And I'll end with this. I've said this a couple of times before, and I don't think I've said it well enough because it's something in my spirit, but I haven't found language for it yet. But there's a difference between a cup that is empty, a cup that is half full, a cup that is full, and a cup that is running over. And he could have chosen a few of those. He could have said, I prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, for your cup is before you. Or your cup has a little. You say, well, a little is a lot in the kingdom. Or your cup is halfway full. Or your cup is full. But you have to understand again the tradition, the Hebrew tradition of that way. The Eastern tradition was when you set someone at your table and you like that person and the way that you showed that you like them and hospitality, you had a choice. They could either go and spend the night somewhere else or they could stay in your house, in your place. When visitors came in those days, it wasn't just like drop by, see you at Walmart later. It was like you come and up to the host whether you stay or not. And there were signs they would give. One of the signs that every host would give, if they liked you and they wanted you to stay, when they poured your wine into the glass, they would let it run. It was an Eastern hospitality to let the wine run over the top, meaning there's plenty and there's plenty for what has, and your cup is running over. Therefore, you invited to stay the long journey. And so David said, the Lord has set me down the presence of the wolves and predators, and he has anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over, because as a host, that is a sign that I am welcome at his table and there's more than enough of what he has for me. My cup runs over. And kingly Eastern tradition, when you sit down at his king's table and you were honored by a table, the servants were commissioned when they poured wine in your glass, it had to run over the top. They couldn't just fill it up. We live in a just enough society, just enough religion, and not so much a cup running over. So now I'm all over the cup running over stuff. All the way down the tablecloth. I'm into that. And I like that. So I sell in. I'll sell in with this piece. And he anointeth my head with oil. And 3 years ago before I came here, I had that experience. And one of my nights where the Lord anointed my head with oil. And I'd always thought of that being like a anointing that came after going through the valley of the shadows. And now I'm at the place seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and my cup is running over, and he's prepared a table before me, and all of my obstacles, all of my persecutors, all the things that have bothered me are no longer an effect in my life because I'm seated with him at that place. So he anoints my head with oil, and he takes this big anointing and says, now you're the apostle of the prophet. He's like, head with oil. That's not what shepherds. Shepherds didn't anoint their sheep to preach. The next anointing that's coming is not an anointing to preach. It's not an anointing to do miracles per se. It's not an anointing to do signs or wonders. It's not just an anointing to prophesy, although we should do all those things. It's not an anointing to do things that we think it is. When you sit down with the Lord and the Lord honors you and your cup runs over, then the anointing your head with oil was this. Every shepherd had to anoint his sheep's head with oil, because here's what would happen. I know you know this if you've lived in the country a little bit. Sheep have a real problem with getting germs and insects and bacteria and bugs and flies up their nose and their throat. And many of them would die of an infection in their nose and in their lungs because of the insects. And a good shepherd would carry a flask of oil. And that oil he would take a sheep that was infected with flies, and the flies would actually lay eggs in the nostrils of the sheep. So he would take a flask of oil. Every shepherd had to have a flask of oil, or he would lose sheep, not to the valley of the shadows. He would lose them to the flies that laid eggs in their nose. And you know who the God of the, I ain't going to say that, but anyway, the Lord of flies is. So he anointed my head with oil. And I always saw that as, again, the Lord giving us some kind of great anointing or great authority or saying, now you're anointed. Like Moses anointed Aaron with oil, and he poured it on it, and he touched it on his right ear, you know, and his right thumb and his right big toe, meaning he has anointed to hear, is anointed for the work of the ministry and the walk of the ministry in the tabernacle. But this was a different kind of anointing. Now he was anointing sheep, not prophets or not ministers. And he said, anointed my head with oil. So I thought the night the Lord walked me through the Psalms and visited me that when he got to the part past a table spread for me but from the presence of my enemies, when he anointed my head with oil, some kind of fresh anointing is going to come and some kind of thing is going to fall on me and the heebie-jeebie is going to hit me and I'm going to float in the air and do miracles. The blind are going to see and the lame are going to walk more and all kinds of, you know, that kind of stuff that we say. But when the Lord actually went through that process with me, because it was a visitation of the Lord, he stood at the foot of my bed, walked around to my bed, whether asleep are whether awake, whether in the spirit or not, a vision. I don't know, like Paul said, whether my body or out, I don't know. But it was an amazing experience. And it was, I was awake. I could see the room, but I was in the spirit realm, but I was in the room. I was on heaven, and I was on earth. I was in a valley, and I was in my room. Everything was together in three tri-dimensional. So as I'm lying there, and he walks around to anoint my head with oil, instead of having me stand up and giving me some kind of certification for being the greatest person who made it through whatever I'm going through, he took my head by the hair of my head, and he pulled it back like that, and he started pouring the oil up my nose, not on top of my head. And as he poured the oil up my nose and my mouth, I was gagging. And when I did, I was vomiting out, and I was putting out all kinds of stuff, and a spirit of religion came out of my nose. That flies had laid eggs, that things that were not particularly consistent with the kingdom of God had taken nest in my breathing capacity. But anyway, so as I did, but it was the most cleansing, wonderful feeling that I was being debugged in a sense, as sheep were being debugged. I was being debugged as the oil, which was olive oil, of course, was being poured in my nose. And it was not just for fun. It was for medication. It was a shepherd's medicine for his sheep to make sure that he cleansed their nostrils and their throat from the insects and the bugs and the things that has there. And that night, I knew, and I still know because I haven't got there yet, if I can get through something, I'm going to get to something. And that to something I'm going to get to is not just a cup that's running over, but it's going to be a detox from a religious spirit that has stuffed my airways and that has caused me not to breathe deep and not to be able to run with the Lord on the plateaus that he's brought me to and to be the sheep that he's called me to be. So I don't know where you're at tonight. I know where I'm at. I'm still at the front of the valley of shadows going, don't want to walk. I really don't want to walk through that. Because it's not like you just get to do it one time and it's always like, okay, you did that before, you don't have to do that again. It's like, okay, we got to do it again. All righty. That's why, thank you, Jesus. That's three words. I have two words that are actually I use more than thank you, Jesus. One is I quit. That's two words I use. And I mean it. And I say, thus saith me, Lord, I quit. You know, I mean, I quit trying because this is hard. This is hard stuff. So I don't know where that's going to take us. I don't know where it's going to take you. But I do know this, and I've got to say this, although I don't have to say this. I need to say this. Whatever you're walking through, whatever valley of long shadows that you're in, you have to make it through it to get to what God has prepared for you, because it is your job and under your stewardship to walk through something. It is not God's responsibility. He already walked through something in the garden and on Calvary, and he sat down now, and he ain't walking anymore. He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. So it is not under his jurisdiction, or it is not under his stewardship to walk for you through the valley of the shadow of death. It is under your jurisdiction and your stewardship. So if you will do what you have to do, if I will do what I have to do, if I will with all my strength, all my heart, run and not be weary, and walk and try not to faint, and have done all to stand therefore having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I will take it upon myself to steward my part, he is waiting with the stewardship of his part. But see, we want to get to the valley of the shadow of death, and we want to look up and help him do his part instead of doing our part, because we want him to come and help us do our part. Well, yeah, you just come down here and just pick me up. If I fall down, just carry me right up to that. You know, no, if you will do your part, if I will do my part and walk through the test or walk through the valley of shadows that God has put us in, God is waiting on the other side with a stewardship. He's already done the stewardship of his part. It's already done. When he said it is finished, that doesn't mean he's going to walk through these trials with you again in a sense of him partaking of that. So his place for you is not something you're going. He's not walking you to go somewhere. He's already somewhere where you've not been, and he's waiting on you to get there if you stewardship the valley that you're in and the walk that you're at, and you don't fall down, and you determine that 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it's not going to come near you. For the Lord has given his angels charge over you, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I just preached myself into having to lift something. But anyway, I tell you, as my sister says, the Pentecostal church, you know, she goes, too, we keep on preaching like this, we'll have the devil on the run. But, yeah, anyway, I knew you liked that, Tim. Yeah. So, what am I saying? So, here's one of the things that is legal. It is not legal for the Lord to come in stewardship on what's under our stewardship. He's already done that. It's our job. It is not a parent's job to walk for the child. It's the parent's job to teach the child to walk and back up and let the child walk to it, or to him. So what do you do? What is legal if you're in the valley of shadows? And the Lord, it's not his response, it is his issue. There is one wonderful loophole in the legal law of all of that, and that is each other. Each other. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 is about, that pursue love, especially spiritual gifts, and especially prophesy. For he that prophesies speaks to each other in this place for edification, exhortation, and comfort. It is in the place of long shadows where we're having to walk, although we're wanting to faint, that it is necessary to have the comfort of one another and to comfort each other with edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is the word, of course, edifice, the Greek word, which means a building or a foundational building to build up. So we're to build up. And, of course, exhortation means to exhort or to call near, to exhort back to the center of what's important. Exhortation is to call you, to exhort you to get back to where you're supposed to be. So prophecy is for in the valley of the shadow of shadows. Prophecy from someone else or comfort from someone else is to exhort us to keep walking. And it is to exhort us to not stop building up our faith, our most holy faith. No stopping the edification. And the last one I like, edification, exhortation, and comfort. So there's build up and there's stir up through edification, and then there's cheering up through comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. The word comfort means to cheer someone up. And so that is the loophole, and that is the mercy God has given us when we walk through the valley of shadows, that although it may seem like he's 100 miles away, we have each other. We have each other. And so it is in that place. Listen, I don't need your encouragement, nor do you need mine when you're at the table with the Lord and your cup's running over. So the last thing you need me is me open my big mouth and try to preach to you. You need me when you're walking through the valley. Yeah, I need you when I need someone to say, this is the way. Keep going. Walk in it. I need someone to say, don't give up. I need someone to say, hey, you're going to get through this. The Lord's waiting. If you just, hey, I need someone to say, like the angel said to Hagar, arise up and opened her eyes, and she saw a well in her desert. She didn't know there was a well in her desert. We don't know that there's a way out in our valley of long shadows. And she said, the angel said, arise, Hagar, and opened her eyes. She saw a well in the desert and said, take your son in your arms, for I shall make of him a great nation. So what I need, what you need, is someone to say, get up, arise. Don't sit down there and cry, and because there God has put a well in your desert, and take the child, meaning the promise that God has given. Hagar was a promise from God. It was Abraham's son, Ishmael. And she had put it aside because it was dying and laid it down and said, go pick up the child. Pick your promise up and start walking in the desert, because I'm going to make a great nation out of him. And Ishmael became a great nation because Hagar stood up in the valley of shadows in the wilderness where her son was dying and she was dying. And she did that because of encouragement. All to say, I'm not going to do it. We're going to do some encouraging tonight. I want Laura, you're going to, will you manage this for me? And that's what wives do in the valley of long shadows. Other than instruct and exhort and I don't know how we're going to do it, but I don't know. You know how I'd like to do it too? I'll call you up. I just like to maybe. I just see this chair right here. Will someone put that right down there? Because in case the Lord comes, he has somewhere to sit. Yeah, put it right there. Put it right down there. Thank you. Thank you, Timothy. Got the devil on the run on that one. Yes, sir. And we have that for whoever wants to come here. So I'm going to turn this over to you, honey. And if you want to call somebody or somebody, if you just want to like, you know what? I've been walking through this shadows and I'm about to fall down or, you know, and I can't stand up. So if you're going to fall down, why not fall down in the middle of a company of the believers so they can help you get back up? That's our job, is to help you get back up. So there's if you want to fall down, come fall down right here. And there's going to be prophetic comfort that's going to be spoken over you. That's legal. That's legal. And the encouragement's always legal. So anyway.
Okay, well, you want to sit there?
Yeah.
Gee. So anyway, so God gives wives. God gives men wives to turn stuff on them. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can do that. You're right. That is good. I went to the doctor again, and I've still lost more weight, and I'm eating and eating, and they say, you got to eat. The Lord's told me to eat. But every time I eat, I get so sick. I get so nauseated, and I'm making myself eat. That's a horrible tension to make yourself eat, but when you do eat, you get so sick, and you know you got to eat. So you're right. I would be. This has been a hard day for me. I've been so nauseated and sick because I ate food. But I got to eat to live. I know. And this is the 11th commandment. Thou shalt obey thy wife. So, boy, I didn't know this was going here. Honey, give me a good word. Good.
Just go in with
no, it's good.
I'm going to call anybody up.
You choose
anybody
your microphone.
That would like to come up.
You have to turn it on first, baby.
It's on.
That's a husband's job, is to manage his wife's technical deficiencies.
Okay.
And that means shut up. You guys know that, this, where it means like, honey, shut up.
Are you done?
I'm done, honey. I'm like done. Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. Are there some people that would like to come up and pray and bless, yes, speak a word, whatever you got in you that would like to come up? And I don't want you to feel obligated either.
No.
If you don't have anything right now, you can pray from where you're at and just bless. But if you feel like you've got a particular word, come on up and pray for Larry.
Yeah, and just give you a straight on. I got my blood test back this evening. Things are looking better except for becoming more and more anemic. And so they said, we got to do something about that. So pray for that. That's when that was just on top of me today when they called me. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. You've got something?
Need a microphone. We need it. Anything. Any prophetic word given needs to be recorded.
Yeah, I know. Okay. About a month ago, I was watching you preach, and it seemed to me like last year you physically were spiraling downward.
Yeah.
And I saw that it had stopped. And it was like a couple of months ago where the spiral has stopped.
Right.
And the Lord says you're spiraling upward.
Mm.
And I'm not one to, this is really hard for me. But no. I love you very much. I don't really know you well, but I feel God's love for you. And I know that this is not his will for your life.
Okay.
And it's going to get better. It is. And it's just because he loves you so much. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for Larry. And I thank you, Father, that your love overcomes everything. And it never fails. And, Father, I thank you that it's not going to fail in Larry's physical body. I call forth strength, resurrection power, to every cell in his body. Father, I thank you that you died on the cross. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sicknesses and infirmities. And I thank you and I praise you that that's in effect. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That was great.
Yeah,
was
thank you.
Good deal. Wow. Anybody else have anything?
I didn't.
Good.
I know you.
Yeah.
Do you know her? Remember her? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I came here to minister. Do you guys get ministered? Hush, Larry. Okay.
We come with the big excitement. We miss you guys so much. And we were excited and thinking maybe we would receive a word. But when she was praying, I knew that we came here to encourage you guys. Mm-hmm. Not receive, but give. And tonight was about you both. And it's a very special. I just want to let you know, everything that you had done, everything that you had gone through, it has been worth. You impact people's lives. Like ours. We miss you daily. We love you. We love you so much.
Thank you.
We want you well. Okay. We drove 3.5 hours just to tell you that we love you. Mm. You mean a lot to us. You both are very, very important pillars in our life. We are not close physically, but in the spirit we are very close. We thought very often of you. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this year is the turnaround. I saw a vision in the first prayer meeting with the ladies, with Denise, that she introduced me to her church. And in that, when she was praying, the Lord has connected us in the spirit so much. And I believe that it's for you too. I saw a vision. It was a peach tree seed. And it was in a print, in a paper. And when she was praying, I saw that. I'm like, well, interesting. It's a peach seed. And I begin to see how the paper transformed and begin to sprout. And it was immediately blooming. And then it was a lot of fruit. So I believe that this is the year that we will see the promises from long time. It's been like a file in a piece of paper and nothing but the picture. This is a year that we will see the things come to pass. And they will bloom. And they will bear much fruit. So the things that you've been waiting and that you've been promised, it's just a piece of paper, you will see come to pass, and your health is going to turn around.
Amen.
But you're covered with love. And many times, like if you see the church is almost empty, it's in the physical, in the spirit, this church is full of love. Because if you can see the love of all the people who has left for any reason, because the Lord moved them, like we, but we still here, covering you with love from far away. We still here.
Amen. Thank you.
I love you.
Love you too. Okay. Oh boy, you're not going to pour that up my nose, are you?
I actually thought that might be a good idea.
No, no, no. Oh, yeah.
His strength.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else have anything?
I just pray over you, the healing, the restoration, the restore of the bone marrow with the red blood cells start, the liver, for all that to be, the highways to be just opened up, come through. For we know that the Lord can heal you. We just know that he can. Also, I had a dream last night. You were on a highway. There was two 18-wheelers. You were in a truck in between them. Those 18-wheelers were trying to crush you. They were popping the mirrors. The mirrors were bent, all to pieces, thrown off. But it just means keep looking forward. Don't look back. Keep going. Mm-hmm. I have seen your heart grow. I've seen you have a father's heart. In the last almost 3 years I've been at this church. And he's going to still keep doing wonderful things. And you're going to keep going forward. You're going to keep reaching people. And you are going to become healed. Mm-hmm. So we are standing in this church and believing in that. Because we all love you very, very much.
Thank you. Wow. Okay. I'm good.
No. You're good? Then how about if you sit there and then would anybody else like to get prayer or a word? And tonight I think would be a great night to exercise our gifts.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to call our friend from Atlanta. Come on up here.
Come on, girl.
I ain't gonna tell you anything about her. This is our friend from Atlanta and they connected when they went down there.
Come here to receive tonight.
So. Yeah. But after this, I felt like I needed to give.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you that.
Here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's get that on the tape. I just need a minute. But all right, let me do that. So I just want to encourage all of you that I know he's been your pastor for a little while now, but we've known Larry for many, many, many years, and I'm going to tell you something. Larry and Laura are a gift. They are a gift. And when we pulled up into the parking lot, the Lord's going to shake the foundation in this place and something's about to be released. Didn't I say that? So there's about, like money. It's going to be money that's going to be released for the kingdom here. Yeah. So be prepared for that. But as we were praying, my husband went through many sickness and illness too. 2 years of cancer. 36 rounds of chemo, bone marrow transplant. He had thyroid cancer 2 years ago. He's still in the pulpit preaching Sunday in, Sunday out. So my husband's a miracle. And so I just want to pray for you if I can. Lord, I thank you for our brother. And Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would continue to heal his immune system. And that, Father, that you would call all things into alignment according to your word, that he's saved, delivered, and he's healed. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is the one that does all the work. So we ask right now that your Holy Spirit would even now burn out through the power of your Spirit, Lord, just burn out the things that need to be burned out and the things that need to be healed, that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would call the left side and the right side in alignment with your word that says he's saved, delivered, and he's healed.
Yes.
And Father, I just released healing. And Lord, it's just your healing. Lord, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each one of us. And we release that tonight over Larry and call him out and say he is healed. And so we're going to stand on that promise right now that you're healed, brother. And I'm just going to keep standing on that because you're a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift to the body. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people don't do you right. And I know how that is. But it's okay. Because sheep bites do heal. Sheep bites do heal. And so, Lord, I just thank you for Larry and what he means to this church. And, Lord, what you're about to do in this place and the releasing of the things that you're going to release over this place, Father God. I saw it as we pulled in. So, Lord, I just bless you and I thank you for what you're about to. Y'all need to be ready. Y'all need to be ready, okay? Y'all just need to be ready. I just thank you, Father, for them. Lord, I just thank you for them. I thank you for everyone here, all my brothers and sisters. I thank for each one. Continue to hold him up in prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'll take it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit down here. We got the devil on the run now. It's like, come on. I just love that. And I just love that. My sister, she's so excited the devil's on the run in her church. Hope he's running out.
Yes.
Anyway, not to pull on your prophetic too hard, I'll just tell you this, this lady and her husband are friends of ours from back to when we first came to Nashville. We were part of, were there when you guys moved to Atlanta and laid hands, we kind of prayed with you and about to a pastor of the Vineyard Church there. And so they pastor a vineyard in Atlanta. That was hard to lose you guys and your kids. You know, back then we were at Grace Center at the time. And so I haven't seen them since then. So I was so excited to see her. So we want to comfort, comfort one another with the same comfort that you're comforted with. And Lord, and so I want you, if you have a word of encouragement, you know.
It could be popcorn. You can just have one word.
What she means by popcorn is like just one word, pop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah,
you can do whatever. A color, but if you got a sentence,
yes.
If you have a paragraph,
yes.
Yeah. Not a big preach, just a nice sentence and paragraph. Yeah. And I'm challenging you. Okay, yeah. Come on, girl. You just got a word to start speaking. Yeah.
That's great. The word I'm getting is persistent. You know how you're saying your husband fighting? Persistence. And you're gonna the kingdom's watching, and all that persistence is pushing the glory for what God wants done.
Good word. That's great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Come on.
There's actually two words I'm getting: flourishing and flowing. So when you walk through, you just reach out and people just like start to bud. And it's like a river flowing. It's strong, it's swift, and it's powerful.
Good word, good word.
Amen.
Okay, if nobody else comes up, then I'm going to be picking. Because I got, the Lord has highlighted somebody on me, and so it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Are you guys ready to be uncomfortable?
Yes.
And be challenged? Yeah, to be challenged. Tanya Tiger, come on up. You knew it, didn't you?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
See? You thought the same thing.
See, my wife was right.
Yeah. No, so seriously, I see the word steadfast over you, and much like Karen said, you've got a persistence about you. So as they were speaking, I see that you have this almost like a concrete bunker that surrounds you, and the darts of the enemy don't touch you, and you just mow through stuff. You are steadfast, you are persistent, ain't nothing touching you is kind of the phrase that I saw. And I feel like you're a pastor's wife, right? Yeah. So the darts that come at you.
No, she's a pastor, I think.
So the darts that come at you just don't even affect you. But the impact you have, not just in your congregation, but outside also, the people you come in contact with, there's something about your steadfastness that leaks assertiveness to people, and they can grab hold of that off of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Good word. Good word. Okay, I've got one more. Kim, you're just highlighted. I know you got something for her.
I thought you said Tim.
Kim.
I think you said Tim.
Well, you might be next.
Hey, he's an ex.
When he first said, asked for you to sit down and people to come up, the first thing that jumped out to me was your heart. That your heart... you touch a lot of people because of the love in your heart. And it's the love of Jesus that reaches out and touches people. And that's the first thing people recognize when they see you.
Such a good word.
Thank you.
Amen.
I mean, am I not nailing it?
No.
I mean.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, do you have anybody you think? Anyone more? This is really
You said
fun.
Tim.
Okay. Come on, Tim. Tim.
Come on. Come on.
Come on. Just any little thing. It just doesn't happen.
Our big thing.
Big or little. You can even preach it if you want.
I just feel like the love of the Lord all over you. When you walked in, his presence walked in with you.
Thank you. Yeah. I felt the same way about you.
And it's true about him. It's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that was powerful. I knew you were coming.
Yeah. She's a word woman.
Yeah.
Amen. It's actually for all three of you. Because you were in the ministry. And as you were talking, Larry, and as people were praying over you also, I know you know this. I know all three of you know the word. I know you're ingrained deeply in the word, but this just kept coming back. And it's from Proverbs 4, starting in verse 7. And I just want you to listen, maybe listen to the Lord come at you rather than you be in a teaching position, I guess is what the Lord's saying. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. And that may mean from the doctors that you're seeing, Larry, get further understanding from your congregation, wherever they're going through, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Because if something is coming and something is birthing, whether it's here or in Atlanta, we need to embrace that. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, my daughters, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction and do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. And then the Lord brought me over quickly to Proverbs 20. My son and daughters, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. You have an important position in preaching and teaching and sharing, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. And health meaning psychological, spiritual, and physical. So it all goes together. Anyway, that just kept going through my head. So as you're preparing us, be prepared and hold on to that. Hold on to that tightly. Yeah.
Amen.
Anybody else? One word. Okay, what's your one word?
When you went and see me come back here, I heard brave.
Brave. Yeah.
Very brave. You're a brave person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word.
Amen.
That's good. Connie. Okay.
Wait, I want a guy word.
I'm going to give you a guy word.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Three of us.
I'll start with you, Larry. You've been sick. Okay. I know you see with your heart people, but God wants to heal your eyesight. It was just so specific when I came in. It's just a total healing in your eyes. And, you know, I'm just asking for the full 2020 vision back and for it to be a quick work. Yeah. Yeah. And we just come against all destruction and disease and any kind of virus that's tried to hit you in your eyesight. And this has been going on for a number of years, but God can restore it like that. So I know that it's going to be done because he just kept saying, be specific, it is the eyesight.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
And for both of you, you're so vivacious, and you have this big personality, and you're always laughing, and everything seems to be going so well with you. But the Lord showed me that there is a part that needs emotional healing way down on the inside of you. And and you too, Miss Laura. Yeah. So, Lord, we all need emotional healings, Lord. We've all been hurt in the deepest part of our souls. Sometimes it goes that far down. So, Lord, I'm just asking in the name of Jesus that you pour the oil into the emotions, into, as Larry was praying on the our spirits and our souls. Lord, go down and just heal the souls. Sometimes we just need our souls healed. And Lord, I thank you that the emotional part is going to just totally be completely healed in Jesus' name. That healing, the love and the compassion and the joy to come into her soul. Not only on the outside and her big personality, but it goes deep into the soul, and it does a healing work and a quick healing work too, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, for Laura, I ask that the emotions go, that you go down and you just totally heal her emotions, Father God, of all hurt, any kind of rejection that could be there. We just come against all of that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for that hot oil that will just go deep into her spirit, deep into her, just even into her mind and her will and her emotions, Lord. Just pour it on her. Just go in with that anointing and that healing flow. We just agree in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Wonderful.
Just stay on up here. There you go.
So I want to pray. You'll call anybody else up? Or I just want to pray a prophetic prayer over you, just the word of the Lord. I think that in a prayer, a mandate over your life, and there are a couple things that, a couple of words that came to me in the spirit realm that a couple of things I felt that I have to put language to. It's the Lord's responsibility to show me stuff. It's my responsibility to form language and to convey it. And the way you form language is the more words you know, the safer you are with your language. So I'm going to give you the word of the Lord, the scripture. So the language is this. There's a couple things. This is a year where assignments are coming. But before every assignment, there's always an alignment. Alignment always takes precedence over an assignment. So anytime God does an assignment and assignments happen, there's an alignment that happens. This is a year of alignments. For the assignments that have come and gone, and for God has bringing new alignments. So this is a year of aligning. What I mean by that, this is a turnaround year. I don't know what that means other than a turnaround, but I know what it means about. It means that there's a turnaround year, like when you go to an airport and it's time, you have a layover. You've had some layovers. You had delayed layovers in the airport of life and in the airport of the spirit and in your own heart. So there's been layovers there, and the layovers have been decided. But to get to the next assignment and get to the turnaround, you have to get on the runway. And on the runway, there is a clearance that is given you that your alignment is right. The plane is aligned correctly with the runway. The altitude is right. The weather's right. And it is. They can actually take off and get lift that way. So every assignment that an airplane goes to has to begin with an alignment on a runway. So this is your year, not just of assignment, this is your of alignment. And this is your of turnaround. So every plane that stops with an assignment and alignment has what they call a turnaround. And in that turnaround, they go from one place to the next place after the alignment and the assignment is settled. So this is your year of turnaround. And here's where it's at. In relationships, this is your year of turnaround. And this is your year of turnaround with your children. This is your year of turnaround in your children. Life. This is your turnaround with new alignments. There's an alignment with your children and what's going on with them. There are alignments with people that are close to you. There are alignments in every area of relationship with you because new assignments are coming from the Lord. So I feel the Lord is saying to you, this is the time to turn around, literally a turnaround. And the scripture that would back that up and that would put that was David. When it was his time for a new assignment and things had happened, he had been caught in the transition of life and things taken from him, and the Philistines robbed his family and robbed his camp while he was off to war, and he came back. They had taken everything, and the men there talked about killing David because he had let this happen, because things hadn't gone like it should have been, because they had lost a lot because of the attack of the enemy. And David had an assignment, but he had to have an alignment. And alignment was the word of the Lord from the control tower. So David goes before the Lord and says, Lord, what do I do? Shall I stay or shall I go? Shall I stay or shall I go? Shall I do nothing or shall I do something? And he was asking for an assignment, and he was asking for an alignment for that assignment. And the Lord gave him the alignment. The Lord said to David, you are to arise and you're to pursue and you're to overtake and recover everything. And the word of the Lord to you this year is that at this place of turnaround, you're going to arise, you're going to pursue, you're going to overcome, and you're going to bring back and restore that that has been taken from you. And God is going to help you to restore it 100-fold. It is your year of turnaround. It is your year of assignment. It's your year of alignment. It's your year of follow-through. It's your year of hearing the Lord say, this is the way, go. This is the year that the Lord says, go. You can do it. This is the year that you hear the Lord say to David, like he said to David when he faced Goliath, this day, this year, shall God deliver you into my hands. And as he ran toward Goliath, he prophesied, this day, how dare you defy the army and the plan of the living God? How dare you defy? This day, God shall deliver you into my hands. And Lord, we thank you for this woman and this family and this church and this life and this purpose that she has, that this is a year of turnaround. This is a year of assignment, alignment. This is a year of walking and not just walking, but running like David. When God said to David, get up, he didn't say walk or crawl. He said pursue, which means to run. Pursue, get on your horse and run. Pursue, overtake. Overtake means it's very brutal. You overtake someone, you run as hard as you can go. You take the problem, you overtake it, and recover everything. And this is the year that recovery is beginning, because you're given her plans of alignment that will bring this assignment to pass. And she will say, as she did, or as David did with Goliath, this year, this day, this is my turnaround year. I'm turning this whole thing around. You've intimidated. He's intimidated the saints of the Most High and intimidated in Judah. And David said, no, no more. This day shall God deliver into my hands. So Lord, we'd agree in this place with this woman, her ministry, her family, husband, children, everybody that's connected to her. We believe that this is the day the Lord has made for her. This is the year that is her year. This is a year of assignment. This is a year of alignment. This is a year to say, I will pursue, I will overtake, and I will do. Because it is your year of decision. It is your year of turnaround. It is your year where the control tower says, you are cleared for takeoff. You are cleared for takeoff. So, Lord, we thank you for the clearance that is given from the control tower that is given. For you shall hear a voice from on high say, this is the clearance. This is the way. Walk you in it. So this is her alignment. This is her word of the Lord. That word of the Lord that came unto her, as the prophet said, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, arise, as it was with Elijah, and go to Mount Carmel. Yes. Lord, we believe the word of the Lord, and the alignment is in her. And it is being pronounced with great clarity through her that she will be able to rise in this place like David did and say, this is done. We're not going this way anymore. We're changing the atmosphere. Yeah. We're changing the climate. We're changing who's in charge. We're changing everything. Everything is going to be turned upside down because this is your year of turnaround. I heard that word when you sat down so clear. Turnaround year, turnaround year, turnaround year, turnaround, turnaround, turnaround for the good. Not turn around for the bad, turn around for the good. Lord, we bless her, and we thank you for this turnaround year that's in her life. By September, it shall go for a while, but by September, it will have been a death blow to the enemy and a death blow to the things that would stand in front of her and a death blow to some of the things. It seems like the enemy has won in the sense of strategy because God is a strategist of all strategies. And the new strategy that God has is the word of the Lord. Arise, pursue, overtake, and take everything back that belongs to you. And David did that. And as he brought back, there was a great shout in the camp of the Lord because David not just went after the enemy, but he waited till the Lord told him, you are empowered and you have clearance for this to be a victory. Yeah. You have clearance from God that this is your victory year. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I thank you for this victory year for this woman, everything related to her in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
And I just got this quick picture. When you held your hands out, I heard the Lord say, her hands are clean. And with that, I had that picture of, you know, Pontius Pilate washing his hands of a situation. Well, you don't have to wash your hands of a situation, of anything. Your hands are clean.
Good. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else? No? Yep. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Your kids must be, I remember them as teenagers, they must be like old now.
They're old.
Yeah, they're all.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh.
If you guys only knew.
We know.
No, you guys. I mean, no. You know,
oh.
But you don't, I mean, we know, but.
I mean, we don't know.
Don't know the gift.
I was trying to sound spiritual.
You know.
Yeah.
No, but you don't know.
No, but you don't know. Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Tracy, you're supposed to come and sit down here.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Hey, this is the word of the Lord that I have for you. It's never over until it's over. And in the kingdom of God, nothing's ever over, for the kingdom of God is not stopping, starting over. The kingdom of God is fluid and never stops, has no beginning or no end. So it is transitional. The kingdom of God is not stop and go. The kingdom of God is always go. Because the kingdom of God is like a river that flows from the throne, and rivers are transitional. Rivers never stop flowing. So this is your year of that. This is your year of flow. This is your year that things are not going to stop or stay the same. This is your year of fluidity. And since things are going to continue to flow, and things are going to flow. And the way that has been different than before, because it's not over until it's over. And some things look like it's been over, but it's not. It's not over till it's over. And what is not over is Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 says this, "For I saw thee as a woman widowed in thy youth, and I said unto thee, I will gather her up." And you know Isaiah 54, go ahead and read it. I can remember pieces of it. And said, I said unto her, "For the Lord thy maker, he is thy husband. The Lord thy maker, he is thy husband. And he shall lay your colors and your stones in fair colors. And great shall be your peace. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. For the Lord has arisen from his place," in Isaiah 54, "as a woman set aside, as a woman alone, and has said, for the Lord God thy maker, he is thy husband. And he said, great shall be the peace of your children." I don't know what all that means, whether it be natural, physical, but in your, this, nothing's over until it's over. "And the child of the barren one shall, the children shall be greater than the child of the fruitful one. And as it was with Rachel, it was so." Joseph and Benjamin were the prophetic sons of Rachel, where Leah had 10 sons, Rachel had 2, but the 2 were able to do more than all the others together. So what God is about to do with you, and what God is going to do you out of Isaiah 54, he's going to make the promise and the fruit of your spiritual womb, the fruit of everything that you've ever done, larger than you could ever imagine. And he's going to lay the colors with the stones with fair colors, and he's going to make this great place and this wonderful thing that God is going to do, in that he's going to turn the tables and he's going to redeem the time. And you're going to say, "I thought it was over." The Lord said, "I thought it just began." So it is just the beginning. It is not the finishing, because with every ending comes a new beginning. There is no ending that doesn't have a beginning in the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God is eternal, it's yesterday, today, and forever. It does not have a beginning and an end, and that's it. So this is your Isaiah 54. Read Isaiah 54 very close tonight. This is your Isaiah 54 year. "For the Lord has looked," as he did in Isaiah 54, "and said, I see a woman in distress, in the sense in her youth, who was widowed in her youth." And I'm not trying to play on that. That's exactly the word the Lord gave me. I got to be true to it out of Isaiah 54. The Lord has seen who you are and where you are, and this is your year of the Lord standing up for you. And the Lord declaring, "I see you this year," and this is a year of turnaround for you too. And the beginning of new things, and no weapon formed against you, and all the weapons that have been formed against you are going to continue to prosper, for the Lord is going to gather you unto himself. And need be, it says in Isaiah 54, the Lord said, "I'll be your husband." Need be. And he was. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. The husbandry of the Lord and the care of the Lord upon Tracy's life. This year is her year of paying back that was taken. And it'd be 100-fold, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will you cause to bring unto her. And you cause to be given back to her. All the negatives and all of the minuses will be turned into pluses, and will be turned into more than enough. This is your year of more than enough. This is your year of new dreaming. This is your year of new future. This is your year of what? This is your year. Lord, we bless her in Jesus' name. And thank you for it. This is your year because you have taken notice of her this year. In Jesus' name. It'll be in the, right in the middle of summer. Lord, we bless her with that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody else? Oh, this is Wednesday night. I got to do it normally. I can't go, somebody else? Someone else?
Yeah, hold them back, honey.
Hold them back. I know we got the devil on the run, honey. I just can't get past that one. That's so. Anyway, so, yes. Well, take that one. Take Isaiah 54, okay. Go home and read it in at least three different translations. Read it in the Revised Version, the Amplified, which is louder than the King James. Read it in the Amplified. Couldn't resist that. Read it in the Amplified, read it in the Message Bible, and read it like the NIV or the NAS, one or the other. Those are three kind of extreme shifts. And read Isaiah 54. It is your chapter. It belongs to you. You are in that chapter. Lord, we bless her. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Some people don't want to get up and leave.
I do have a picture, but it's kind of illegal.
Huh?
I do have a picture.